Hello and welcome to the Real Success Podcast. I'm your host, Candice Mama. If you are returning, welcome back. And if this is your first time, be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Today, I bring you a guest that's going to open you up to your spirituality, but also to your relationship with money. I am so in awe of our next guest. His name is Richard Harrington. He is an investor and currently a digital nomad living in Bali. So without further ado, here's Richard Harrington. Okay, hello, Richard Harrington. You are joining us all the way from Bali. How are you?
I am too blessed to be stressed. How are you, Candice?
I'm great, Richard. And I have to tell all of those who are listening to us and not watching our YouTube, you definitely look blessed. You are radiating.
Stop it.
But no, Richard, seriously, I really wanted to just thank you as we begin, just to say thank you for spending your time with us and thank you for giving us your wisdom on the Real Success Podcast.
Yeah, I tell people that I just, everything that I teach, I do. So for me, it's a practice. Wealth, assets, business, it's a practice. It's not some high and above concept. It's something I do. It's something I practice. So I just share my story. I share my experiences. And I love it.
Oh, I love that theory. And tell us, actually, let's start all the way at the beginning. Was young Richard always going to be a motivational speaker or wealth coach? Or, you know, were you always going to be this person? Because you grew up in South Africa, right, Richard?
Yeah. So, Cape Town.
Oh, Cape Town. This is now my new home city. So tell us, where did it all start for you?
Yeah, so the goal was never to become a speaker. In fact, when I speak now, I tell people I'm speaking, but I'm not a speaker. I'm an investor. It's one of my friends asked me, Richard, how do you become a speaker? And I said, I didn't. I got personal success in my own life. And then I got invited to speak. So it's like, it's kind of like with money and wealth, many people want money so bad, they never get it. I want it, they never get it. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized is, if you have that, I want it, it's kind of a desperate energy. And we know what a desperate energy does. It repels. So people, they want money. They want money. They never get money because what they're saying is they don't have money. So for me, it was never about the money. It was always about the freedom. And that's why when I speak, I tell people that in school, we were taught that money is the end goal. It's like, I just want to get a good job. I want to make my first million. I want to make money. And then they never get the money because the money was not the end goal. The money is the means goal. The end goal is freedom. And the money is a means goal to get you to freedom. So it's like coming from South Africa, we know that we got our political freedom through the late great Nelson Mandela and the freedom fighters. So we got our political freedom through them. But when it comes to financial freedom, that you got to do by yourself. No one out there is coming to set you financially free. That is an inside job. And I found that out the hard way because I wasn't born with money. I never came from money. Yes, I actually began my journey deep, deep in debt, in the negative. And I found out that the hard way. We were taught just the wrong understanding with money, the wrong relationship with money. And now I've helped more than 1,000 people fix that relationship with money. And then it shows up in the assets and the bank account. But it always began as an inside job.
I mean, Richard, growing up without money and going into debt and then coming into this space of like that where you are abundant and you are teaching people about money, there's so much of that that I find is mindset. So how did you manage to either break the cycle of the way you thought around money?
Yeah. Oh, I love this question, Candice. I love this question. How did I break the cycle? I don't know if you've heard the term the dark night of the soul.
I have.
Yeah, so it's a very famous poem from the 1600s, but it speaks about when you go through a crisis and you're never the same. That crisis like changes you to your core. So I landed myself in massive debt, deep in debt. I mean, I came out of university. My first paycheck I received, I blew it. I blew it because I wasn't used to money. I mean, many people that can relate, the broke student life. I had no money through high school, through college, completely broke. And then my first paycheck hit the bank account and I lost my mind. I was like, I've made it. I'm a rich man. My first paycheck. I'm like, I've made it. And I went spending. I was buying rounds, living the Vida Loca. And then after 2 years, I found myself deep in debt. And I didn't know who to speak to because my friends was also in debt. It would have been the blind leading the blind. Because we don't attract what we want, we attract who we are. So I was a compulsive spender and I was attracting compulsive spenders. I want money, but we don't attract what we want, we attract who we are. And that's why I tell people that money and wealth is not something you have. It's something you are. It's something you become. And if you want to have it, you need to become it. You need to become it. And that's why people that do get it, they lose it because they never became it. And that's why the people that win the lottos 10 years later, like 20 years later, they go bankrupt. One guy, he's won the lotto twice and he went bankrupt. Twice. It's because they had money, but they had a poverty consciousness and a poverty mindset. So they can never keep money. And that was my story. I got money. I was like, I have to spend this. It is burning my pocket. It's hot. I have to spend it. And I just spend and I just spend like a crazy person because money wasn't resonating with my identity. I just had a lack identity. I had a lack mindset. And it's like they say, if you look at like water and gasoline, it can't mix because it's two different substances. And that's why a person that has a poverty mindset and a poverty consciousness, they can't keep money. They can't attract money because it's two different substances. So we have to go deep and look at stuff like, is how do I value myself? What is my self-worth? What do I think I deserve? And then once we do that things, the effect of that is money. Money is the effect. And so back to your question, what happened to break the cycle? I was lying in my bed one night and I was sweating and worrying, how am I going to pay this debt? Because I looked at my paycheck, I looked at the debt and the numbers wasn't adding up. I was like, how? I couldn't see a way out. And then I was beginning to worry and stress and sweat. And then the thought hit me that there's no reward for this worry and stress. There's no reward. And in fact, by me focusing on the debt, I'm actually feeding the debt. Because what we focus on expands and manifests. So my stress and worry was fueling that debt, and the debt got bigger and bigger. When I realized that there's no reward for this, is worry and stress, I kind of switched the focus off the debt onto is how to make more money, which then led me onto focusing onto assets. And then that's what expanded and manifested because I was feeding that with my focus, with my energy. So I never ignored the debt. I just never focused on the debt. But it was in that moment when I realized there's no reward for focusing on the bad and the negative and the situation. And then I began to ask myself a question, What if I focus on the assets, how to make money? See, what many people do when they is in the dark night of the soul, they ask themselves a disempowering question. Why does this always happen to me? Why now? Who can I blame? And then they go lower and lower. But if we can just flip that to ask ourselves an empowering question, we get out of the dark night, which was how can I make this better? What is the lesson I can learn here? What is the quality that's trying to be cultivated right now? Is it maybe patience? Is it maybe resilience? And when I shifted the focus off the debt and the situation onto the quality, which for me was resilience and patience, because I was a compulsive spender, I needed to be more patient. When I shifted my focus on the quality, I moved out of the dark night much quicker. Because when we fight the dark night, what resists persists. And when I put the focus on the quality, I got out of the dark night. And so it was the dark night of the soul that broke that pattern. And sometimes it takes a crisis to just wake us up, to break us out of that loop.
Oof. I mean, you said so many things there, Richard. And one that also kept in my mind was, we don't get what we want. We get what we are. And I think that is so powerful, right? Because so many people want a lot of things. Like, I want to be married, Richard. I want to have a business. I want to make more money. And there's all these lists of things that we really want, right? But if your soul is not in congruence with what it is that you want, then it is not going to come into your framework. It's not going to become your reality. And coming back to what you ended on there, Richard, about the qualities within yourself you had to cultivate. Did you have to change your environment? Did you have to change the people you were hanging around? Like, how did you put that into practice in like real life terms?
I love that. Let's get practical. What did you do? I want to set this up by saying what I did to get me out of debt wasn't the same thing I did to get me financially free. And they're two different animals. So it's like what you did to make your first million won't work to make your first 10 million. At best, you'll get 2 million. So at each level, you got to push the reset button. So then what I did to get me debt-free, I call that it was masculine energy. What I did to become financially free was feminine energy. So when I was in the debt space, I just had to do the most I could to get myself out of debt. So practically, I watched webinars, I watched summits, I read online books, ebooks, I did online courses. I got a coach and a mentor. I did that to get myself out of the debt. It was very masculine. I had to make it happen. And the reason for that was, when I was in the debt space, my first thought was, who can I blame? You know, when I had that victim mentality, no, it was my friends. Let me blame my friends. But because wait a minute, who signed the credit card bills? Who did the swiping? It was me. We can blame the media and, oh, they tricked me with their sales adverts or their sales music. But wait a minute, I'm a grown-ass man. I can make decisions. So it's like, then I can blame my parents. They never taught me about money. They can like blame their parents, the grandparents. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve. We're all still broke. So we can play the blame game all day long. We get nowhere. And that doesn't mean that my feelings wasn't valid. It was valid. I was feeling like I messed up. I was feeling who to blame. But we call it the 5 minute rule. So feel sorry for yourself for 5 minutes. And then you got to get up and move. Because it's either we just hold that emotion or we get progress, but we don't get both. So we humans, we feel it, but never let it dominate. I mean, like Nelson Mandela, he came out and he said, I had these feelings, but I could, he's never let my brain, I could never let my emotions I mean, dominate my brain. Because all his feelings was valid. But if that had to dominate, we would have had a civil war. But he came out of the brain that said, we need to work with them. We need to negotiate. We need to dialogue so we can have progress in South Africa. And so when I was in that dark night of the soul, I had to realize, okay, I'm playing the blame game. I'm playing the victim story. And then I had to say, wait a minute. I need to take responsibility of where I am. And when I realized I was the one that put myself in this position and I'm the one that will take me out of this position. What can I do? And that's when I went and I did things in the masculine energy. If I must make this happen, it's up to me. I have to use my power. It's up to me. I need to step into the masculine here. I need to see the life that I want that's debt free, and I need to make it happen. And that's what I did. So I had affirmations. I journaled. I tell people that you can literally journal your way to your first million. Literally. I mean, all geniuses had journals. Einstein, Da Vinci, they all had journals, handwritten journals. And I use journals. I use affirmations. Lots of tools in the masculine, which is basically what the secret was. It was, what can you do to manifest the things you want to? And then we grow from that, where we're not looking to just attract random stuff into our lives. No, we're looking to bring stuff out of our soul. Because if you attract random stuff, it might not be good for your soul. And then we go on to true manifestation, where what we bring out is from our true self that makes us more of is who we are and not less. But when I was in that debt space, it was all masculine. It's like, people are calling me to pay my bills, so I got to make a way. I have to find a way. And so that's what I did to get myself out of the debt space. I had affirmations. I journaled. I really threw everything at it. I had a coach, a mentor, webinars, ebooks, online courses. And then after 12 months, I wiped out all of my debt, completely debt free.
Oh, I love that, Richard. And I love the concept of the masculine and feminine energy that you use. So, I mean, I subscribe to the same school of thinking, which is masculine energy is the assertive energy within us, right? Because for those people at home that have never come across this concept, is that all human beings, male or female, have both masculine and feminine energy within us. And each one serves a different purpose. So you touched on masculine energy a lot, Richard, which was you put a plan into place. You like journaled, you affirmed, you learned, you really went actively out in order to fix your debt. And you said that was what got you out of debt. And then you said you used the feminine energy to get you to where you are now. Do you want to touch on a little bit, like, what does the feminine energy embody to you?
Yeah, I loved what you said, that male or female, non-binary, we all have both energies, because it's energy. It's not gender. It's energy. So it's just that if you were raised as a boy, you were taught to cultivate the masculine. If you're raised as a girl, you're taught to cultivate the feminine. So it's not that we have either or, it's that we were raised differently. So I'm going to drop something now. We can come back to it. But when you realize your true nature, that you are not the labels, you are not your gender, you are not your culture, your religion, you are not your body, you are not your mind, you are spirit. And that spirit is abundant. And that spirit has no weakness. You have no weakness. Yeah, your mind is weakness, your body is weakness, but you have no weakness. Your true nature, there's no weakness. So then everything that you think is weakness is actually a strength in seed form. So if I look at the feminine energy and I'm like, okay, so number one, you listen more than you speak. and I'm a bad listener. So many times we listen to interrupt. So that's not a weakness. That's a strength in seed form. I just need to cultivate that. Because if I was raised in a different environment, I would have been a better listener. So there's nothing I lack. So that's my first approach to the feminine energy. That is not a gender. It's energy. We have both parts. And if you want to reach your full potential, you have to integrate the two. We can't focus on one and ignore the other one. We need to integrate the two. But I realized that if I'm a guy, I must put extra focus on cultivating the feminine because I was never raised that way. And if you are a woman, you must put extra focus to cultivate the masculine because you were never raised that way. So it's two different conversations. For a woman, you need to step into your masculine and take up space. I mean, for a man, you must step into your feminine and listen more. So I know for many guys watching in here, we need to up our listening game because that's when we get intuition. And that's when you get the next level of investment ideas and business ideas through intuition, not your intellect. So when I said I was in debt free, I was using the masculine, I had a vision of the life that I see. I see myself debt free. And you hold that vision, you write it down, you speak about it until it manifests. So that's masculine. But to be honest, I never saw myself financially free at 24. Never. That wasn't my vision. That was something inside that came out. And that's why when we're doing like visualization, law of attraction, it's basically a copy and paste. It's, oh, I see that nice house someone else has, or I see that nice car. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not authentic. It's just signposts along the way, but it's not the end game. When you step in the feminine, you're open to listen. What's the next step? So in the masculine, you set up the meeting. In the feminine, you're completely open. When you are in that meeting, you're completely open. So it's like, it's levels. It's level. So it's like in the masculine, we do a lot of affirmations, where it's a lot of speaking. In the feminine, we meditate a lot, where it's listening. In the masculine, we're setting our intention. What is our intention for this year? What is our intention for this interview? And then we surrender, to the feminine, which is not intention, it's inspiration. So it's like, there was a moment when I saw this homeless person at the traffic light, and the thought hit me that this guy is debt free. He has no debt. Because it's up until that moment, I thought, I'm the man, I wiped out all my debt, I'm debt free, can't touch this, I'm debt free. But so is the beggar, he's also debt free. I'm like, we're both debt free. So the goal is not debt free, the goal is financial free. And then I knew what I did to get me debt free wouldn't work to get me financially free. It's a different game. And that's when I'm like threw myself into meditating and surrendering. But we have to do the work in the masculine because that's why people think surrender is weak, because they surrender into the circumstances and the challenges. But remember, I did the work to get out of that victim mentality to start manifesting. So when I was surrendering to my potential and not my problem. That's why I tell people that no matter what you're going through, your potential is always greater than your problem. Always. Your potential is infinite. We're too body conscious. We're too mind conscious. But that's not who we are. We are spirit, and that spirit is infinite. And like people's like, Richard, what does this have to do with money? Everything. Everything. Because yes, wealth is not something you get. It's something you become. Wealth has to become your identity. And that's why, like every talk I do, I tell people that wealth is not overnight riches. It's a journey. It's a process of becoming. Of becoming what? Your true nature, which is spirit. And there's no lack in that. I mean, like one of my friends said, or Richard, I feel so stuck and blocked. I said, my brother, that's an illusion, because a stuck universe doesn't exist. There's one universe and it's abundant. That's the only universe that exists. So I said, come live in this universe. It's way more fun. Come up here.
Richard, you touched on so many things that I was just like, I have to speak about this and that. And one thing you did speak about is, you know, how you receive masculine and feminine energy. And it brought back a quote that I read once, and it said, prayer is how we speak to God, and intuition is how he speaks to us. And I think that's exactly what embodies masculine and feminine energy, at least in my opinion, is that a lot of the time, as you touched on, surrender, right? We say surrender the process. But as you said, it's surrendering in terms of how I look at it is a farmer. Once you've planted the seeds, once you've put the water over, there's nothing you can do. You can't force the sun to rotate. You cannot force, you know, the crops to grow. That's when you surrender, when you know you've done your best and you surrender it to the process that will be, because that's where your intuition comes in. Hey, go do this. Hey, have you ever thought about doing this? And I think that's the beauty of, you know, the more you do is the more you can trust yourself, and therefore the more you can trust your own intuition. But it takes practice, Richard. It takes so much practice. So how did you get into the space? Because it does take quite a bit of time between people accepting that, you know, hey, I want to be debt free like you were living, and then getting into this place of intuitive insight where you see the world and you see the universe as abundant. What was that journey like for you?
Yeah, I felt it. I could feel the shift on the inside, like something wanted to break out. I mean, that's why they say that this universe is always progressive. It's always progressing. And as many times we choose not to grow and progress, so we cause our own tension. And then we think, oh, I never growed. I stayed the same. No, you never stayed the same. Everything else progressed. It's all the planets are it's orbiting much higher atom. It's much, much higher frequency. So you actually went backwards. And then because of our own tension and pain, because we refuse to basically feel what is happening on the inside here. So it's like many people ask, what must I do with my life? But that's in the masculine. What must I do with my life? It's what does life want to do with me? There's something in you that is seeking to emerge. So it's that whole acorn seed and the oak tree. I mean, that acorn seed is tiny. It gives birth to the massive oak tree. But that entire oak tree is in that tiny oak seed. It's coated and everything. That entire oak tree. And that's exactly us. We have a potential within us that we are already coated with greatness. It's every single one of us. And we just need to be placed in fertile soil for that whole oak tree to just emerge. So yes, there's work in the masculine, but it's not a struggle. It's not forced work. And that's why I tell people that there's many, many assets. So like I just like teach four main assets that will generate wealth. So there's not one asset, there's four. And if you find that you're trying to struggle, you're trying to force things, it's not natural. The oak tree just emerges out of the acorn seed. That's how nature works. So if you're struggling through life, you're in the wrong environment, you're in the wrong soil, because you have everything you need to live your most abundant life. You don't need anything. You have it already. So it's like, as many people say, Richard, I want money. I'm like, you already have it. Because that wanting, it's an illusion. And you're sending out a message that you don't have. And that's why you never get it, because it's from a place of lack. But you already have it. And that's why I tell people that I don't spend money. I just circulate money. Because when I spend it, it's gone. When I circulate it, it comes back. Money flows in, money flows out. Money flows in, money. It's energy. So it's like you have to be as honest to how you're feeling inside. And then you can only ignore it for so long before something breaks. So it says, they say we grow, I mean, two ways. Either we see the light or we feel the heat. So it's inspiration or through pain. But either way, we're going to grow. So the best way is to choose to see the light and be inspired by is other people, or by coaches, by guides, by mentors, and you get inspired to move. If you don't move, then your circumstances will come and start to move you. It's either way you're going to move. We're spirit beings. It's either we're growing or we're dying. I mean, there's no, it's neutral. So we're going to grow. We get to choose how. Is it through is inspiration or through pain? And so I could feel that tension building and I needed to think differently. Because what got me out of debt, I had to think like a hustler, hustle culture. I got to do whatever it takes. But to get me financially free, you got to think like an investor. Because his hustle culture is a broke culture. I mean, the top 1% has people fooled to hustle for them and build their assets. So I'm not saying you mustn't work hard. I had a job for 4 years before I retired. I know it's long, 4 years. But I worked hard for 4 years and then I was financially free. Because it's in that 4 years, I saw that a job will never make you financially free. It's just not set up that way. Because the owner will always win. His employee, you get a piece of the pie. His house always wins. The house always wins. You got to own the house. So I saw that. So I saw, okay, the purpose of the job is not to make me financially free. It's for me to build my network. It's for me to build experience, for me to build soft skills, and for me to build the cash flow to get into the assets. So I saw the right purpose of that. And that was intuition. I mean, to see the right purpose of things. I mean, if I give you a pen and you know the purpose of the pen, you'll stick it in your nose or in your ear. Nothing wrong with a pen. It's just, I don't know the purpose. And that's the point of money. People don't know it's how to grow money because they don't know the purpose of money. They think that the purpose of money is to spend. No, the purpose of money is to invest. And then you spend the profits. But the purpose of money is to create more money, not to spend the money. And I loved it when Real Success quoted me on my Instagram, hashtag at Rich Life Bali. But they quoted me saying, wealth should not be protected, it should be created. And that's one of my statements, that I don't believe in wealth protection, I believe in wealth creation. Because the poor become poorer because they want to protect the little that they have. The rich become richer because they create. They use wealth to create more wealth. It's not about wealth protection, but it's wealth creation. And that was the purpose of money. It was always meant to flow, to circulate. If we just hoard money, it begins to stagnate and die. So it's like you put your money in a savings account, rest in peace. It's going to die there. If you put your money on the stock market or the property market or into businesses, your money's not resting. It's working. Working for you. And that's the number one rule of the wealthy. They don't work for money. They make money work for them. But we have the schooling system that teaches us to work for money, which is the number one rule of the wealthy. They don't work for money. Then we wonder why the top 1% is becoming richer and richer and the gap's getting wider because of the schooling system and the college system and the culture system and religion system and family system. So we need to deconstruct everything. We need to question everything we've been taught. So it all starts with that question. What is the most empowering question I can ask myself right now? Because our life will depend on the quality of the questions we ask ourselves.
Oh, our lives will depend on the quality of the questions we ask ourselves. That is powerful. And it actually made me think of a quote that is actually a religious quote. But I remember when I was younger, I never understood it. I thought, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. And it was something along the lines of, to those who have, more shall be given. And to those who don't, more shall be taken. And I used to think, that is the most unfair thing I've ever heard in my life. Obviously, you should be given to those who don't have and then get... But then, you know, as you were describing wealth protection versus wealth creation, It makes so much sense, Richard. I think so many people, especially when you don't grow up with money, right? Like there's so many quotes around money being hard, right? Money doesn't grow on trees. There's songs about it. Robin Banks refers to these a lot. He's like, money's too tight to mention. Yeah. You know, like all these things. We live in a culture that tells us that money is a commodity, that if you don't have it, you have to work and sweat and break yourself for it because it doesn't come easily. And what you're talking about is restructuring the way we look at our relationships with money, because it's in looking at that relationship that it will actually change your life and it will put you on the right path to wealth creation. And I think that's so beautiful, Richard. Not coming from money and being on this path where you were financially free by 24, and you find yourself now living in this beautiful island that is Bali. Yeah. Did you ever find that you encountered resistance from your family or from your friends where they were like, Richard, you can do it, but me, I'm not sure.
Yeah, look, I still have friends that they don't get it. So I tell people that a revelation is not taught, it's caught. You have to catch it. So they don't get it. So they're still like living at home, still playing FIFA, and they're like over 30 years old. And then there's other like parts of my friends that got it and they started to pivot where they funnel the cash from just working for active income, which is your time for money, into building that asset income base. And they're now on their way to becoming financially free as well. But you have to get it. So it's like, so it's like there's one earth, a Gaia, and there's two worlds. One earth, two worlds. So you can have this one person in the world of lack and poverty and scarcity and its limitations, and you can have another person in the world of abundance and prosperity, and they're standing on the same place on the earth. One earth, I mean, two worlds. And that's what I saw is as you grow and you evolve, that you'll see the two people that will come with you into your world and the other ones that will choose to stay in their own world. And unfortunately, we can is help people, but we can't change people. We can't change anyone. The best we can do is share and inspire, but we can't change people. I mean, it's hard enough to change ourselves. You can't change other people. So it's not people, they don't have a money problem, they have a identity problem. And that is an inside job. So they need to see their own worth. And then as you begin to see your own worth, you begin to love your own worth. And like they say, when you buy yourself and you love yourself, you've grown. And then it's only when you love yourself, now you're fit to be with others because now you have something to give. You're not relying on them to love you and make you happy. Like they said, if you want a person to make you happy, marry a clown. But no one wants to marry a clown. So no. His happiness is an inside job. I don't need it to make me happy. I'm complete. I'm whole. I bring the joy. I bring the wealth. I bring the money. And that's why people think, oh, if I can just manipulate this, manipulate that, I'll get it. You might get it in the short term, but you can't keep it because you never became it. So it's this financial roller coaster, a richer, a brokier, a richer, a brokier, because you never became the wealth. So money's not resonating with you. Once you become the wealth, money will resonate with you. And that's why when a wealthy person receives money, they just know how to multiply it. 1 million into 2 million into 10 million because they're comfortable with it. If a broke person receives money, they know how to spend it. They're like, this money doesn't sit right with me. So they blame other people and like outside circumstances, but it's actually an inside job. It's even if you go to the root of debt. The root of debt is unforgiveness. It's like, I'm not happy because that person owes me something. So that was that like position of lack that you take into your finances. You see, there's just one spirit that will express itself in many ways, but it's all connected. It's the same thing. So it's like, what I tell people is you have to go like to the absolute core. So it's like, so whatever in my life, I was in the debt space. Why? Because I was just a crazy spender. Why? Because I had bad friends, a bad environment. Why? I had those bad friends because I was trying to prove to them that I was successful, that I've made it. Hey, look at me. But it was all the bank's money, not my money. Look at me. Why? Why did I have a point to prove? Because I wanted to feel like I belong. His whole life, I never felt like I belong. Is it? You're trying to use money to make you feel like you belong. But the truth is, wherever you are, you belong. And once I found out, wherever I am, I belong. I don't need to pay admission cost, entrance fee. No, I take up space wherever I am because I am worthy to take up space. I belong here. I have a right to be here. And when I was grounded, that affected the way I thought, the way I spoke, the people I attracted, because it was from that place of being grounded. And that money can't do. Because that's an internal thing and we're trying to fix it with external things. But we deconstruct everything till we get to the root. Many people, they look at the fruit, they're not happy with the fruit, they want to shine the fruit, they want to change the fruit. No. Change the seed and you'll get a different fruit. And I love that analogy of farmers because that's what we do as investors. We just plant the seeds in the masculine. And we leave it alone. We let it go. We let the feminine, do what it needs to do. We get out of the way. And that's when I explain what's an investor, what's a trader. An investor plants the seed and forgets about it. He lets it grow in the background. A trader, he plants the seed and the next morning he's looking out the window. Nothing's happening. And the next week he's in the ground digging. Where's my seed? Where's my seed? Nothing's going to grow. You're in your own way. You're in your own way. And I realized when I was deep in debt, I need to fix this because I'm the one that messed up. I must take responsibility. And I did the masculine. Once I was out of debt and my goal was to become financially free, I knew I need to tap into something beyond me. I need to tap into this collective intelligence. And the only way I do that is to surrender to my true nature, that spirit that wants to come out. And people think that this is woo-woo stuff, but it's more real than what we see here. Because what we see here, this laptop is just a manifestation of Steve Jobs' thought, which you can't see. But without the thought, we don't have the physical. So the spiritual is the only thing that's real, because without the spiritual, you don't have the physical. And that's why this whole thing about wealth and money, it's just consciousness. We need to like ask ourselves honestly right now, am I in the victim conscience or am I in the manifestor consciousness, masculine, or must I let go and surrender and step into the feminine consciousness and it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind because it's infinite. So it's all at levels.
Oh, Richard, you touched on so many important things that, yes, it's got to do with money, but more so it's got to do with self, our expression of self as we live this reality, right? And I think the biggest thing you said there that I think so many people can relate to, I don't care what walk of life you're in, is the root at the bottom of why you want something. You have to know what motivates you at that core subconscious level. And like you said, I am yet to encounter a human being who in some way, in some capacity, in some arena of their life, does not struggle with worthiness. And I think that's why you'll find that, you know, someone becomes like a superstar, right? Like someone becomes a Michael Jackson, or they become like a Robin Williams. And then they commit suicide or they overdose, and you're like, but in the material world, or at least the way we perceive success as society, you have it all. You've got the fame, you've got the millions of adoring fans, you've got the money, but you don't have the internal peace. You never worked on that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, is that what you encounter when people come to you? Is that like something you speak about?
Yeah, that's a powerful, what happened to Robin Williams was really sad. And I have friends that took their own lives. And that's what I love. I love real success. Mission, slogan, whatever you want to call it, but at the heart of what you guys do is connection. See, and the more like fame you get and money you get further and further like alienated from normal society. So you get disconnected from your roots, your family, your friends, and then you get all this praise from people, so you get disconnected from yourself. So then you're run by the ego. And it's all the root of that is disconnection. And so it's like, so people saying, okay, Richard, so is money bad? No. Money's not bad or good. Money's a tool. It's like a hammer. You can either build a children's home or build a brothel. Same hammer. It's just a tool. It's not is money bad or good. It's the heart of the person behind that money. You see, so I have a goal now. It's a 10-year goal. I want to reach and empower 1 billion people with the tools to set themselves financially free by 2030. That's my 10-year goal. Why? Because the universe is progressive. And we need to expand on the inside first if you want to elevate your wealth. So if people are thinking about, Richard, I just need to pay my bills, I just need to pay my rent, my mortgage, that will be your life story, because your consciousness is very small. There's no space to be a channel for this, his resources that will flow through. Once you have a big vision, you're expanding your consciousness and you're creating space. So back to the celebrity story, they never had a vision that was beyond the self, the small s. If they had a vision that was beyond the small s, then that money and fame, yes, wouldn't consume them, because the big S expands you on the inside. So there's space for all that resources. It's like a raging river. You need a channel to funnel that outwards, otherwise it will consume you. So that's why they say, have money, but never let money have you. So that's why I tell people that money's not my God, money's my servant. I don't work for money, money works for me. I have the right relationship with money. I'm in control of money, not it in control of me. Money's just a tool. So if you get your first million, will you help 1 million people, or will you do stupid stuff with it? If my goal is 1 billion people, it's just a matter of time before I'm a billionaire. Because I'm just a channel. I'm just a place for this abundance to flow through. And a pipe that sends water is always wet. It's always wet. As long as you're distributing, you will always be taken care of. A pipe that sends water is always wet. And so we need to open up people to be a giver, a generous person. Because that's how a person with a wealth identity acts. They're not stingy. A stingy person is like, but if I give, what about me? What about you? You are infinite. You are abundance. That's you. So a wealthy person is a giver. So I'm a giver. Because that's how a wealthy person acts. A wealthy person invests. I'm an investor. A wealthy person has a global vision. Yes, I have a global vision. So you're in alignment in your true nature. And so back to the celebrity, and because that was a powerful example, because I mean, you may not be a celebrity, but maybe you're a figure, a business owner, you need to redefine what success means. So we all have our own like definition of success. But if you are abundantly wealthy, abundantly healthy, have abundant relationships, you're not successful. But like, what? You're not successful. That is preparation for success. Now that you've got your structures stabilized, now you're prepared for the real success with a capital S, and that's to reach and empower his others, to share that success, to be a channel of that success. And that's what we call, so my goal is a moonshot goal. It's where you want to reach more than a billion people. It's a moonshot goal. If you have a moonshot goal, your wealth, your money won't consume you. It won't use you. You will use it. But you got to have a vision that is beyond the little self.
Richard, with all of this wisdom that you've shared today, I can't believe we at the end of our interview. But before I leave, I know. I can't believe it. I'm like, where did
that's
the time
crazy.
Go? But I mean, but I want to know if you had a time capsule and I could give you a moment in time and say, Richard, you've got the small window of time where you can go back to the part your past self at 16, 17, or 18. Where would you go and what would you say?
My 16, 17-year-old self. First of all, I'll say, calm down. You're too crazy. Take a chill pill. You have your whole life. Just be patient. Like, slow down. Because many times I meet people and they're just too busy. Too busy being broke. Like, wealthy people have lots of time. If you are struggling with time, that's a sign that you're struggling with money. So I'd say slow down. Life is a marathon. It's I'm not a sprint. And I'll say build good friendships. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. Build good friendships. Obviously, I'll explain him the feminine energy. He'll be like, what? What you smoking? I'll explain the feminine energy. And I'll explain, self-love. That once you fall in love with yourself, you have something to give. You're less reliant on external stuff to fill that void. So you'll save yourself from a lot of drama if you just spend some time with yourself, enjoy yourself. Like, I had to laugh when you told Brian you spend time with yourself and you're like, who's this weirdo? I was like, exactly. We're all weird. If you think I'm normal, it's because you don't know me long enough. But if you spend time with someone else, you'll see this is weird about this person. We're all weird, and begin to embrace that. Because that might be where your fortune lies, in your uniqueness. Because there's no extra people on this planet. There's no mistakes on this planet. We are all here for a unique purpose. So I'd say you got to do you. Don't try to copy and paste, to dilute your character, your quirks, your personality, because then you're devaluing your soul each time you do that. But lean in completely. So what makes you weird, what makes you different, embrace that. I mean, I was actually born with a massive speech impediment and I speak for a living. And so the very thing that I was ashamed of is now being used as a force for good. And that's what I tell is artists and musicians, actors, athletes, don't be ashamed of money. Don't be ashamed to charge for money. I mean, don't be ashamed to name your price. Because you can use your wealth for good. And that's why my signature talk, which I speak at, is Real Success All the Time. My top three secrets of the top 1%. Because I tell people, the goal is not to attack the top 1%. It's to learn from them. Because success leaves clues. It's to learn from them. In fact, it's to become them. You're like, what? Yes, join them. But you're going to use your wealth as a force for good. Because if you're broke, you can't help anyone. If you're blessed, the more blessed you are, the more you can be the blessing.
Richard, please do come back. This has been incredible, incredible.
Love to come back.
No, you're incredible. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. And it has been a true honor speaking to you on the Real Success Podcast. Oh, that was such a great interview. I could have never thought of all the detours we would end up taking. And Richard really struck so many points for me where I was like, that's going to be a tweet. So let us know which parts of this interview really stood out for you. And if you're not a part of our Real Success Club, be sure that you check us out. All the information will be in the show notes. And if you haven't registered for our latest event, make sure you are also checking that out in the show notes. If this is where you choose to leave us, thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to seeing you again next week.